Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I am Andrew Horowitz.
And this is our bonus episode for the month of August, the 31st.
Wow, it's got good luck. It's like a five-leaf clover.
Yeah, five-week clover.
Lots of doings. Of course, the month ended. We have now going on 7 months straight of up markets. Only happened a handful of times in the past. And, you know, it's funny. They come out with all these statistics, you know, with, if it's been 5 months in a row with more than 15% total gain for the year and 2% in the final month, then the rest of the year is going to be good. You know, this kind of whole... I guess it's like Punxsutawney markets. You know, they try to judge whether or not the rest of the year is going to be something due to, you know, the market coming out.
The shadow of the gopher.
Yeah. So what they're also talking about is that, well, the problem is that this happened in 87, 29. You know, they give a few of these years that were the only other times that this kind of thing happened.
Well, the 87, which resulted in a flash crash, which really upset a lot of stockbrokers and investors to an extreme where they were thinking of jumping off a bridge. That was an 80-year cycle that took place in 1907 also. And it's a ways off for that to happen. So I'm not thinking that. 29 was also different because it had the run-up was enormous. It was the entire market tripled in value. So it's like it would say it went from, we started off this run at Dow,
10,000. 10,000 went to 30,000.
Okay, so it was, well, yeah.
No, we doubled. We doubled since
we doubled. We didn't triple.
No, not in the last year. In the last five,
it was
10
pretty
years.
Much in the last, like it was about a 6 month period where the market tripled. Yeah. So it would have to triple.
Right.
I didn't know.
I don't remember that exact point, but I will tell you that sometimes these parabolic moves in markets, remember when, you know, back in 87, the reason people were so upset, it wasn't just that the market crashed by 20-25% in one day. Individual stocks just went kaplooey. I mean, if you owned stocks rather than just the market, you could have been down 80% in one day.
Yeah, I know. Well, it did resemble 29 to people that never experienced 29 because no one was, I don't think any investors were alive. And, but it's kind of sounded like that's what 29 must have been like. And I mean, so they freaked out.
I just started in the business back then and I didn't have a lot of money invested, but I do remember, and I still have imprinted in my head, the picture, the image of guys by the end of the day, like all slouched over in a chair, tie like totally loose, shirt, hair disheveled. You know this. You know the look I'm talking about, right?
The look. Yeah, I'm ruined.
ruined. It's all over.
I'm ruined.
Oh, it was ugly. It was ugly. What am I gonna do?
I've heard stories of people standing in the line at the bank and everything else. It was to get what little money they had left, and it was just a terrible moment. But it was a moment.
Right. Exactly. It was a flash crash, as you said.
Yeah.
Much different than, for example, the financial crisis that was this long bleed that was just never.
Takes a couple of years to get over. Where the 1969, the market kind of goes up, It looks like it's going to go up forever. And then it kind of just starts to go down and just keeps going down, but slowly, death.
Slow death. Death by a thousand knife, little razor cuts. All right, let's talk about what's going on here.
I'm expecting that kind of thing if anything's ever going to happen. But anyway, nothing is.
Not right now because right up for the warm-up here, well, refilling the punch bowl is the big thing that went on over the last week or so where Powell is keeping the party rolling. Now, he talked about possibly in the keeping this in the analogy or the example of a punch bowl where, you know, you have a party, everybody's partying, they're dipping their cups, they're drinking, they're getting smashed. the bowl keeps getting refilled and the party keeps going on. You take away that punch bowl and people get awfully pissed off. Well, in this case, it looks like he may be not taking away necessarily the punch bowl, but he could be just taking down the level a little bit. But at the same time, it's quite possible that he's adding additional alcohol to it. So it'll be more intense and really not ending, but he'll make it look like it's kind of starting to have the 11th hour concept going on, you know, because
maybe she turned the lights on and off a few times.
Maybe. But also they are really pressing on the button of, hey, even if we in fact do take away some of the quantitative easing, that $120 billion per month of bond purchases, if we do slow that down a little bit, that is not the same as raising rates. He made that very clear. That is not the same as tightening, which I don't know. Then what are you doing it for? If it's not tightening, if it's not tightening of financial conditions by taking away some of the bond purchases, then why would you tell us that doing the bond purchases is an easing process? That's just so full of crap.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
that's the right analysis, of crap.
Well, we have some bad storms in Louisiana and through Mississippi, which is going to equal an economic benefit, something you and I have talked about for years, where it takes a moment to look at the ramifications and all of the things that happened, the horrible loss of life, of course, and all the loss of property, but the realization that sometime down the road there's going to be a massive release of insurance money, stimulus funds, more government help, and then a rebuild, which then yields new jobs and new benefit for the GDP long-term.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds.
I know it sounds crazy, but it always pays off, and there's always some investment opportunities.
Always. We have the Afghan situation, no win there. I can't even go into this because I can't even make heads or tails of how this is anything but horrible. We have some star power news. We have Steven Seagal and Lizzie Holmes making news this week and a new meme stock ETF, symbol MEME. Meme.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is that how you spell meme? Meme. Old is new, something I want to talk to you about because I can't really engage a lot of my people that I know about this. They look at me with crazy eyes, but I think you'll get this, that everything today just seems like a giant repackaging of something old and then sold without any originality other than the marketing side of things. We went from the dawn of technology to what I'm calling the era of the edit. Just we have something and somebody says, oh, that's all great. Let's just edit a little bit and repackage it and sell it. And everybody's going to love it because God knows it has an app now. Have you noticed that?
Oh, it's been going on forever. These things are cycles and there's very short cycles too. That's what's funny about it.
Yeah. Just as this
technology cycle is very short. I mean, the artificial intelligence cycle is the one that I kind of follow closely where it's, I think how many years it's like a 10, it's like a 20 year cycle or something along those lines. And it keeps coming and going. Start with the idea of an electronic brain in the '50s and then the real AI boom in the late '70s and, you know, the fifth generation project coming out of Japan, that was going to change everything, the way the world works. And it's just, and then now with the more recent AI is going to do this and that, and it's nonsense.
It seems to me that there was a time not too long ago that there was like this, you know, let's create something that's going to really benefit people and maybe from a life standard standpoint, maybe from a health benefit, maybe something that is going to be just really significant, right? And now it seems like a lot of the things that are going on are just motivated by profit, but then extolled as virtuous and life-changing, right? Just change for the sake of change. Let's figure out how to not make a better mousetrap, not enhance what is going on, not take this piece of technology or this healthcare or this item or this product and do something, but just find a better way to sell it.
Milk the cow.
That's all it is. And I officially have been diagnosed today with tennis elbow.
Yeah, didn't I tell you that already?
Yeah, maybe it's podcast arm. I don't know, but tennis elbow. I went to the orthopedic guy today because I couldn't take it anymore.
Tennis elbow
versus what?
Oh, never mind.
Oh, okay. Oh, what you're gonna call it? You're gonna think it's vaccine arm?
No, no, no. My thinking was a little more lewd.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Let's move along here.
But anyway, if you put that band, it's the forearm. What it. Happens with tennis elbow?
I got it. It's on right now.
Yeah, it's on the forearm, and it's apparent what it is because I had it. I had tennis elbow. It was a horrible product thing to have. But when you get first of all, you get your racket, you should have gut.
Well, here, let me just stop you for a second. Here's the problem. I don't play tennis.
Oh, you just got tennis elbow from something else.
Something else. Okay. I got fishing elbow, I think.
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, it's a repetitive stress.
Right. So I have this little thing on. I think I had it in the wrong place, the placement of the area that does the compression. So I have it on the right place now. So we'll see what happens.
It'll be fine.
It'll go away. Amazon, big news, adding buy now, pay later through Affirm. Have you seen that news?
Yeah, I saw that. This is like, I don't know how long this is going to continue, this buy now, pay later gimmick. It's a gimmick.
I was surprised that Amazon actually went outside to do this, except for the fact that they are only doing it on certain products, certain prices.
I think they want to set up shop. I don't think they take it so seriously. They don't want to set up shop.
Right. And they don't want to set up shop and they don't want to take risk.
Yeah.
This puts the risk off. The good news is that, guess what? We had a firm for the game picked about 2 weeks ago. Wait till you see that one. After the Amazon news. Pretty impressive.
We got lucky.
Yes. China endgame approaching. It seems that they are clamping down every single day on something else. The latest thing is gaming.
This started a while ago.
It's been going on for years, the gaming.
Yeah, but it's like the Asian public in general, from the Koreans to the Japanese to the Chinese, they love gaming.
Oh, yeah.
And they like any kind of gaming. They like gambling. They like computer games. They like any kind. They really just are enamored with all sorts of gaming.
Well, now the rule is now, if you're under 18, and I don't know how they're going to police this entirely, but, you know, if the parents allow the children to play outside of these rules, in other words, if the parents log on and let the kid play outside of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or holidays for one and a half hours per day, if the parents have found out to let them do this, the parents will be, I don't know what, hung out to dry.
They shoot them.
Yeah, maybe. But what's happening is that this is very significant. This is a very big crackdown. It goes along with the crackdown on the education component, where they're not allowing for-profit enterprises to involve themselves in the underschool, in the K-12, if you will, schooling. And it's kind of interesting that they're really doing. I mean, and this there's even more. There's a lot to do with the whole area of social media, bad companies. A couple of stories coming up, very interesting about this. And then Gary Gensler comes out, another story here, the SEC chair. He's getting very aggressive. He did some things this week that were pretty amazing in terms of a quick comment about payment for order flow. So that's all the things that's kind of what we're talking about. Now, here's a burning question. I don't know. Have you heard this lately? I have a lot of people coming up to me or asking me or, you know, there's a couple of different things they'll say, but there was some things about real estate. The latest thing is, you know, when is the market going to crash? Like it's inevitable that the market's going to crash. And is that from historical training that the markets have to crash? What's going on with this question?
This concerns me too. I have no idea. For one thing, you can always throw back in their faces, well, when people are asking that question, it's not going to crash.
Right. Which
is true.
Yeah. Right.
It's usually when things are going very well and everyone's happy and they're investing at the top and they're all jacked up. That's when it, you know, so it's not going to crash anytime soon. just from the question itself. It's like a self-defeating, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy in reverse.
And then I guess the question also is for those people that are worried about it crashing, the question that you have to ask yourself is, let's just go there. Let's just say, October 22nd, it's going to crash. What are you going to do about it? Because the market crashes are an unusual circumstance, different than a big sell-off over time.
Well, there's different kinds of crashes too. There is the flash crash, which if it was modeled after 1987, that would happen around October. A flash crash is different. It freaks people out. They dump stuff they shouldn't sell, and they sell at the wrong time, and they end up being whipsawed to oblivion. That's one kind of crash, but that's not, is that a crash? And then there's the classic 1929 style of crash where you get to run up and then a nice crash with maybe a bounce back and then a final crash that takes about 3 years to get to the bottom. And then there's the kind of the over the top crash, which happened in 69, which is, it just kind of goes down. It still has about a 3 year period before it hits rock bottom, but it does it in kind of a more gentle way. Which suckers you into, well, maybe it's, it suckers people into continuing to throw their money away. So you have to figure out what kind of crash it might be, or there's always the possibility of something completely new, because mm-hmm. if you start looking at all these crashes over history, they're all kind of different.
Yeah, they all come from something different. Sometimes it's related to, for example, long-term capital management, where there was a hedge fund crash and currency issues. And then there was the obvious issue with too much leverage in the system back in 2009. Hey, by the way, we all listen to the Fed all the time and all the things they talk about, how everything's fine, all that. Do you remember back in 2006 and 7 and 8, they were like, hey, everything is fine. There is not, don't worry about the amount of leverage. We can continue. They did nothing to prevent what the banks were doing, and they oversee all of that.
Yeah.
But we are all the same, and whatever the Fed says, as long as they have an easy monetary policy, we're good to go. Figuring that, why fight it? Why just go along? What the hell? It's all good. It's all good.
Well, that's funny.
Yep. McDonald's, we got a lot of stories here. McDonald's may be closing dining rooms. Seems that last week, McDonald's instructed its franchisees on steps they should take to reclose their dining rooms in areas where the Delta variant is rapidly spreading. In last week's conference call, McDonald's executives recommended franchises consider closing indoor seating in counties where COVID cases exceed 250 per 100,000 people on a rolling three-week average. So now the McDonald's franchisees need to be statisticians, and they need to keep track of all this and then possibly close, I guess.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Well, I don't know if I last time I ate in a McDonald's, the room there to eat was probably.
Yeah, Ray Kroc was still alive.
Yes, probably about 25 years ago.
I mean, I think like if I'm
when
not,
I was a kid. when I was a kid, yeah, McDonald's was a 15 cent hamburger. You can do your calculations on inflation. It was a 15-cent hamburger, and as a walk-up, it was the classic hamburger places back in the day. There was just a walk-up. You'd walk up to this there'd be about five or six of these walk-up things. You'd walk up as outside, and you buy your burgers, put them in the car, drive wherever you're going, you eat in the car, you do something else. But there was no dining room like they have. I don't know even when that was introduced, but it's kind of took away from the simplicity of the walk-up.
I used to take the kids to various fast food dining rooms. I always found it disgusting. The tables were never clean, ever.
Yeah.
Even though they cleaned them, they were never clean.
I'll defend one of them.
Oh?
In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah. That's not.
They have an inside, and it's the tables are always very clean.
None of the In-N-Out Burger, for whatever reason, on this coast.
No, they're pretty much all West Coast. It's a privately held, and they expand at their own leisure.
Hmm. So BNPL, that's the discussion. Affirm, which was a recent IPO and provider of buy now, pay later services, is soaring higher, 42% that one day, when there was this new partnership with e-commerce giant Amazon. They announced it last Friday after the close. The Game Changer arrangement enables select Amazon customers, I don't know how they're selecting them, to use Affirm's services to break up the purchase of $50 or more into monthly payments. Testing of the payment option has already begun, and the full rollout will transpire over the coming months. Both Amazon and Affirm are up on this news. So this is back to what I was talking about in the beginning. It's an old idea, which is installment plans, now apparized or technologized.
Yeah, you picked that for the game.
Yeah.
And it's a huge winner. And anyone who followed the game closely, they might have gone along with it. They should donate to the show. Just saying.
Yeah. That was what, 3 weeks ago? What was that? What was the deal?
That was on 8/4. It was this month.
Yeah, this month, and it's up 30 or 40%, something like that.
43%.
And that's for the 5% pullback today. So there you go. So this meme ETF, investors looking to bet on the meme stock and the big phenomena that surrounds them that has been characterized by the retail trading boom may have soon have a way to do so. Now, listen to that for a second. Investors looking that want to bet on the meme stock phenomenon may soon have a way to do so. Yeah, you know what that was? Invest in them. So now, once again, same thing. Just a repackage, a twist of something you could have done anyway. Somehow it's going to be a way to do this that you could never do it before. No, 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 no. If you want to invest in AMC or Build-A-Bear or any of the other meme names, name them whatever they are, you could go out and just buy the stock, can't you?
I would hope so.
Right. So now the Round Hill Meme Exchange Traded Fund, which tracks an index made up of stocks.
It takes the same cheesy stocks, the same stocks that are way overvalued, that have been run up by Robinhood investors and other characters, let's say, and it just packages them up. So you get this way, you have all of them instead of just one. They're all the same. They all do the same thing. They all move as a group.
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to also find those stocks that are trending on social media. Now, if I was the kind of guy that felt like, listen, we got a couple of these different deals. David Portnoy has one called the Buzz ETF. Buzz, again, social media. If I was able to, just like they are, to track the talk, mentions, posts, tweets about a various name, and as I see that rising up to the top and buy it for the ETF, right, in theory?
Yeah.
Why not just outdo the system?
Well, I think you can go even one step further.
Yeah.
Put together a boiler room like the Russians do.
Right.
Or just have the Russians do it. Yeah, They'll be glad to get on this deal, the Ukrainians. And just have them put a team of about 100 guys. There'll be plenty of money to go around if you can pull this off with 100 people. And have them join every forum out there. Pick a stock, have it one in the boiler room. Here's the one we're going to go with, boys. And have these guys go nuts and start posting left and right and left and right. Each one of them, many guys, yeah, I agree with him. He's right.
Right.
Just go on and on. And it would take you just a few weeks to rack one of these babies up. That's all it would take with 100 people.
Yep. And then not to mention the bots that you'll create on top of it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the way to do it.
It just seems to me like, you know, again, just another way of just trying to scrape money out of people for no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to charge some kind of
money from suckers.
That's all it is.
What else is new?
Just hanging a fish in the water with a hook in it. That's what it is, in a barrel. And people are going to, look at that. Look at that. Oh, the symbol is meme, M-E-M-E. That must be they really know what they're doing. They're going to buy all this stuff.
Not only that, but there's nothing. What I described as system to run these stocks up or to get the attention they need to get the attention of people like the meme guys is legal.
Yeah, that's isn't that disgusting?
Yeah,
and you can use outside sources. You could do all this because that's what it is, and it's amazing that they're going to buy stocks that are trending on social media when we know that even if there is no gamesmanship like you discussed, the fact is there's gamesmanship in other ways. And you got the bots and you got the things that are going on. David Portnoy backed, whatever that means, he's got a piece of, the Buzz ETF, trailing the S&P by a wide margin since inception. Because don't forget, these are also susceptible to the other side, the smash and kill.
Yeah.
So I think these are probably good vehicles to short once this phase of the market mania is over. Because don't forget, if they start getting a lot of money into these vehicles and they naturally, by their very nature, just push things up, you would think that maybe if things start coming down, there's an extra added amount of selling pressure that's going to be on them.
I would think so. And the way you have to look at it is, even if these guys, like, for example, GameStop, and they got, I guess they got some money in, they sent out an offering of some sort. But say you see one of these companies and you get jacked up, you're $5 stock, and now you're $200 for no good reason. So now you look like you can leverage another offering, you get a bunch of cash in there. And you say, well, you know, these guys are going to get so much cash in that they'll be able to turn the company around.
Mm-hmm.
I say just the opposite.
What?
If your company is a $5 company and you're just about to go out of business, mm-hmm. you're going to go out of business no matter how much money you throw at it.
It just may take longer.
It just takes longer.
Yeah, it just takes longer. That's all.
Yeah. That's the way it is with all these companies that they can't survive. If they can't survive, they can't survive no matter what. But it's not the function of money when you're mismanaged or you're just a bad idea.
But once again, it's the same thing as a cancer patient dying with dignity rather than, or some other patient or some other terminally ill person that the drug companies are just sucking everything out of them by letting them live for another 3 months in horrible shape. I'm not talking about cures. I'm talking about just, living in a terrible,
terrible. Finding a way. Yeah.
Terrible. Oh, got so many things that are annoying me. I have more here. China.
Yeah, you just seem to be very annoyed.
China kicked off a 2-month campaign to crack down on commercial platforms and social media accounts that post finance-related information that's deemed harmful to the economy. Now, this is unbelievable. The initiative will focus on rectifying violations, including those that maliciously badmouth China's financial markets and falsely interpret domestic policies and economic data. Those who republish foreign media reports or commentaries that falsely interpret domestic financial topics without taking a stance or making a judgment. In other words, you just repost it, will also be targeted, they said. So the move is aimed at cultivating a benign online environment of public opinion.
Yeah, lies.
No, but a benign online environment for public opinion, which means you can't have an opinion.
No opinion.
Right.
No, that's no good.
Right. So that they can facilitate sustainable and healthier development of China's economy and society. So the bottom line is China's top social media platforms, WeChat, Douyin, Sina Weibo, Kaixiao, said on Saturday they would begin to rectify irregular practices of self-media accounts that publish financial information, reported state media's Global Times. Mm. How amazing is that?
It's unbelievable.
Now, more of China. This is pretty interesting. Joyee. Inc.'s top two shareholders, its chairman David Li and Xiaomi founder Li Jun, plan to take the NASDAQ-listed company private in a deal that could value it up to $8 billion. Now, they are they're teaming up for the deal as they believe the Chinese social media company is undervalued in the U.S. market. Joy had an average market value of $3.9 billion over the past month, while its net asset value totaled $5.6 billion. So here's something interesting that we should kind of think about. With all of these companies that are in the headlines and in the spotlight for China, where China is cracking down on all this technology and social media and all that, right? We know that, and educational firms, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they're cracking down on many of those that also have exposure here, and we're doing the same thing. Is there a chance that the drop in price that we've seen over the last several months, significant drop in price, is going to all of a sudden have privatization, go private deals happen where there may be some very significant upside in these names.
Yeah, sounds logical.
You know, if you have a deal which you have, we're coasting around a $10 billion market value, and you look at all the valuations, and it really is $10 billion, but it's only worth $2 billion, and you say, you know what, I'm going to buy this thing for $4 billion. You still made a double on the deal in the open market if you had the shares, and they have a double-double. I really think this is something we should pay attention to, that if this goes on, because if China keeps on cracking down on publicly traded names, I think there's going to be a lot of money flowing into the privatization phase of this to get them out of the spotlight.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm going to write this down. Let me write this down. China names go private. If anybody out there wants to do the research also, send it on over to us. Will you please? Let's see.
Love to see it.
Yep. Star News. In a bombshell revelation just days before a criminal fraud trial, defense attorneys for Elizabeth Holmes. You following the Elizabeth Holmes? Or we call her Lizzie?
Nope.
You know who she is.
Oh, Elizabeth Holmes, the blonde?
The Theranos.
That woman. Yeah. I haven't been following it too much. I mean, all I know is that she's getting sleazy.
Well, at age 19, she founded the company and she wanted
I know her. I mean, she's, you know, what she is. She likes to talk with a phony deep voice.
She has a phony deep voice and she only likes one prick of the finger to get blood for all these different things, supposedly with one drop.
Now she's claimed she's been beaten or something by her husband.
So now she's being suffered a decade long. She's going to a trial and she's now a new defense is she's suffered a decade long campaign of psychological abuse from her former boyfriend and business partner, Ramesh Balwani. Attorneys for Holmes plan to introduce evidence that Mr. Balwani verbally disparaged and withdrew affection if she displeased him, controlled what she ate, how she dressed. First of all, she wore black turtlenecks, so I don't know how you can control that.
Yeah, what kind of... She just dressed the way Steve Jobs used to dress.
You are not wearing that black turtleneck today. You are wearing this black turtleneck.
Black turtleneck.
And how much money she could spend and who she could interact with, essentially dominating her and easing and erasing her capacity to make decisions. So
she's going for the insane defense.
Yeah, pretty much the insane defense by psychological abuse. Now, he's also going to court. He's also in court on all this. So it's now...
She threw him under the bus is the way I see it.
Something like that, yeah. Crazy.
Or she hoped to, you know, maybe.
It's all his fault. He's the one that did it. I was just the face of it.
Yeah, because I'm
the
helpless girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Now, Steven Seagal, you know him.
Yeah, of course.
Terrible actor, but big guy that can kind of like break your face with one finger. Who starred the film Beyond the Law. I like how they put that in this little piece here. Starred the film Beyond the Law. He found out that even relocating to Russia. Did you know he relocated to Russia?
Yes, I do know that.
Who relocates to Russia?
Nobody in their right mind.
I never heard of such a thing. What are you doing? I'm going to be retiring in the Russian mountains. Really? Okay. So he relocated to Russia, but that doesn't mean he's beyond the reach of the U.S. courts as the Securities Exchange Commission won a judgment against him. A federal judge in Brooklyn, New York, said the SEC can go through Seagal's business manager to try to collect more than $200,000 that the actor owes the U.S. government for failing to disclose he's being paid to promote a digital coin. Now, this is the same thing again and again.
The digital coin. This is what he's got himself. He's got a tit and a ringer on this deal.
Yeah, so digital coin, then you go to flee Russia, hopefully for $200,000.
For $200,000?
$200,000?
Yeah, he should have that in his bank account.
Yeah, I mean, they were lousy movies that he made, but there was a couple of fun ones in there during the time.
He made money. He made a lot of money making those movies.
And still on reruns. Those are still late night deals. You know, in between the 9-in-1 pressure cooker, crock
just
pot
a
thing.
Cook.
Yeah, he's got that, you know? Gamification. This is a big issue. Gamification, where somehow apps, technology, it would be the equivalent. The old days, this would be the equivalent of me doing a stock trade with a broker and the entire New York Stock Exchange turning around and going, hey, Andrew, good job. Excellent. Wonderful. Oh, we love you, Andrew. Do that trade, that first trade. You are on your way. You know, the whole, that would be the, What's going on the exchange? Well, the Security and Exchange Commission said on Friday it is stepping up its inquiry into so-called gamification and behavioral prompts used by online brokerages, we know which one that is, and investment advisors, whoever that is, to prod people to trade more stocks and other securities. While new technologies can bring us greater access and product choice, they also raise the question to whether our investors are properly protected when we trade and give and get financial advice, Gary Gensler said. In many cases, these features may encourage investors to trade more often. I don't know. If you trade and you get some kind of confetti on your phone, do you think that anybody in their right mind is like, oh, man, I want to do another trade because I want to see that again? I mean, really? Who does that?
Well, it's like the kids. Kids do that.
It's like a, what so was, a
child, what? They get all jacked up and they have 100 likes on Instagram.
Oh.
And they're depressed if they don't get 100. Oh, I didn't get 100 likes. Oh, no. What am I going to do?
So this is the equivalent of them getting trophies for something they did. This is the satisfaction of acknowledgement.
Participation.
Yeah. I'm just like everybody else. I get it. Yeah. I always want to be that guy that did a trade, and now everybody around me sees me as a trader. Yes. Even though it's just an app. So a few questions. I don't know why it's wrong with gamification. Have you looked at slot machines lately? Have you gone to like seeing a slot machine that there's all sorts of confetti? What we're talking about, the basic way that they are investing is not investing. They're day trading and gambling. So gambling, you get all sorts of crazy things that go on. Bells ring, sirens go off, fireworks sometimes, right?
Yeah, well, you actually even get that in real life with real people at a craps table.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. Shooter, to the shooter. Shooter, roll that 7. Yeah. Horn high, yo. And everybody's all excited the whole time. Buy him a drink. So I guess the question is, what's that line? Where's that line from investing to gambling to gamification?
As far as I'm concerned, it's just another, I don't see the line.
I think this is people trying to make, there is investing. We know investing, right? We know investing is all about. No question about that. We know what long-term investing is. But the question then is the difference between long-term investing and very, very short-term, truly gambling, where you don't know what you're doing just because somebody said it, you push a button and buy it, and you sell it because you made a couple of dollars.
Yeah, it's just like the slot machine.
Right.
Yeah, you either hit it or you don't. Try it again.
Right. Let's see what we got here. Got to move along because we have a couple of more topics.
By the way, have you seen these new slot machines that are like the whole giant video screen?
Yeah. They go up like 8 feet
in the air. Most of the slot machines are now these new machines. I like the old fashioned reels.
Yeah. The old fashioned, like the double diamond, triple diamond.
They don't have any of that. Now it's all video.
Yeah. You got to search for those. And there's like 17 lines. And there's a.
And then you can add different quarters and it goes crisscross and you can have. Right. It's a nightmare.
Right. So you always feel like you have to put the most in or else, it ends up being a $5 slot pull.
Yeah, it is. That's,
even on a nickel machine.
I know.
Let's see. Digital currency, the digital rupee. Okay, we'll talk about that. We talked about a generation of a credible business creator. Do we want to talk about the era of the edit anymore? Or are we okay? We want to talk about HIMS? HIMS, which is an ED, erectile dysfunction pills done on a smartphone that, man, never before have you experienced this kind of life-changing event where you can actually get your erectile dysfunction pills through your phone. Or they have also Rogaine. Now, people that want to grow hair, and let's say they use Rogaine somehow, what do? You go to a doctor, something like that. You get a prescription. I don't know. You get your Rogaine somehow, right? You pick it up. It's sent to you.
Buy it from Amazon.
Yeah, you buy. Oh, my God. You can do it on an app. It is unbelievable. My life is so much better now. Because I can push a button on an app and have my hair growth formula delivered to me. Like, what? Why is this so exciting?
Well, this reminds me, remember that this is about 5 years ago when Amazon had these stupid buttons.
Oh.
Remember that?
Oh, they may still have them.
They do?
I don't know what they call them. They were recharge buttons. Just push it.
There were a little button that it would be like a button for Tide, and you'd put it over in your washroom. And then you, when you were, oh no, I'm out of Tide. You'd push the button and it had a Wi-Fi in it. It would order another batch of Tide. You'd get the next day or in two days. It was idiotic.
Yeah. I told you, I think at the time, and I didn't actually ever see them. If I saw those in somebody's house, I would just, in, you know, discreetly go around and start pushing it.
Yeah. You said that. That was your joke. Yeah.
I would do it now. But you have like Weight Watchers, which is now called WW, which is diet. Noom. If you ever seen the commercials for Noom, oh, it's a whole new way of diet.
I have seen those commercials.
It's not a diet. It's a way of life. Yeah. They're telling you not to eat. What it is. You got online classrooms instead of schools. I mean, there's all this that's going on that is this, again, the same thing, just regurgitated in a different way and told to you that you're going to feel different and that you're going to experience just a wonderful life by utilizing this. I find this to be terribly twisted.
Yeah, I think it kind of is.
Just keep on the lookout for this. You'll see this more and more.
It reminds me of the waning days of the dot-com era, 1999. This has a certain similar feeling to it.
It does. They're just reaching, and they could do it because it doesn't...
Stupid ideas galore with everyone. Yeah, this is a great idea. I can't imagine anything more great than this idea.
Yeah, exactly. I got to get Noom. It's not a diet. It's different. What is it? Okay, first... We're going to talk to you, and again, probably gamification of providing you stickers and wonderful affirmations. You know, you wake up every morning.
Yeah,
you are a wonderful person through and through. You know, and then you're going to be like, now
there's a lot of people that subscribe to putting these affirmations all over their house.
My ex-wife would had an affirmation cassette tape that she made for herself that would listen to it over and over, and I would be like, "What are you listening to?" I would listen to him like, it was her voice. You are a good person. You know, you stand heads and shoulders above the rest. This whole, she'd have like an hour's worth of affirmations she would play over and over to herself.
Huh.
And you know why? Because she was married to me and she probably needed to.
Well, there's probably an element of truth to that.
Oh, we got Delta on Delta. Delta on Delta. Delta Air on the Delta variant. Clear that Delta is fed up. I mean, listen, Corona, the beer didn't have as much of a problem. They thought it was free advertising. Delta's pissed off. They can't take it up anymore. So they're probably confused, you know, worried about the confusion over Delta virus and Delta.
Well, what kind of confusion is there in reality? Anyone who flies is not that confused. Where they, Delta is becoming a terribly mismanaged company if they think like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, and they're saying, you know what? First of all, they change. They don't talk about. They don't say the Delta variant. They say like the virus. They don't use the Delta variant in any of the discussions. But
it's not the Delta Airlines variant,
right? It's not like Delta. Yeah, come fly with us and get the
women in the Tri-Delta, Delta, Delta, Delta sorority. Yeah. Nobody's bitching about that. Right. Oh, what is it? Got three planes as the logo? You know, it's nonsense. Delta Airlines should be a company targeted for a long-term short.
Employees are now facing a tough decision, though. The idea is, hey, here's the deal. You need to be vaccinated, is what they say. If you're not vaccinated, that's fine. You can come back to work, but you're going to pay $200 more a month for your insurance, for your health insurance.
Yeah.
Nice, huh? Nice little. See, I think that's
interesting. It's just a gouge. It's a gouge. There's no reason that these people would have to. They may be more focused on their own health than the people that get take the vaccine and then get a bon vivant attitude. Oh, they're laissez-faire about everything after that. In fact, there's been some documentation of this. People feel that they feel supercharged when they get the vaccine, and they'll probably take more chances. They're probably more likely to end up in the hospital.
I don't know what's going to happen here, but it does seem like a really good arm twist to me. Because the other things that you can do, whereas if you give somebody, for example, an extra $100 because they took the vaccine, that's nice. An extra $1,000, very nice, okay? However, you start having people dig into their own pocket, then they start getting pissed off.
Yeah, well, maybe they should go get our job someplace else.
Yeah, that's going to be the case. So we got more hacks, but the cloud goes on. Microsoft on Thursday warned thousands of its cloud computing customers, including some of the world's largest companies, that intruders have had the ability to read, change, or even delete their main databases. The vulnerability is in Microsoft Azure's flagship Cosmos database. Supposedly, a flaw was not exploited and ultimately was fixed.
Boy.
Cloud. So I don't.
This is what we can expect.
So, you know what's interesting? People talk about the cloud's safer. It's more than this, it's more secure. I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. How is the cloud more secure than my office computers that are not opened up to the outside world, excluding somebody tricking me, calling me up saying they're Microsoft, they have to get on my computer because I have something they need to fix, right? Stupid me, if I did that.
That would be stupid.
Aside from that, it would seem to me that if one hole was bored into a particular system on the cloud, that could affect and impact hundreds of clients.
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
You're talking to the choir here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been a big advocate of localized backups and I can see the cloud. I can only find one benefit from the cloud, and it's not used enough.
What is that?
And that is you can put a lot of data in the cloud, and then you can do the cloud mechanisms. These are on high-speed mainframes. Should be able to search through the data faster than you can do locally.
Okay. If you have that much data that you need to search through, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But again,
that's about it. I can't think of anything else that's that important. I mean, maybe just a glacier style of backup. You know, you want someplace so you have to know if your place burns to the ground, you at least have some, you know, data safe somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But except for that, I don't see this constant need to use the thing.
Right. Now, you know, we've been talking about ESG. A lot of things are coming to a head right now. And it's either that or I'm in a really bitter mood. I don't know which one it is, but maybe it's a combination. We talk about this ESG, this environmental, this social governance.
Every time this moniker comes up, you get irked.
Because it was such crap. So a former BlackRock executive has outlined why now he thinks that sustainable investing is as dangerous placebo that harms the public interest. A dangerous placebo that harms the public interest. After previously evangelizing the trend for the world's asset management firm. So environmental, social, and governance, ESG investing has grown increasingly popular in recent years, mainly in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. On the massive issuance of green bonds also, and now may not have created much positive environmental impact. In fact, this is because most companies have few qualifying green initiatives that they can raise, but they can then again raise green bonds to specifically fund while not increasing or altering their overall plans. And nothing stops them from pursuing decidedly non-green activities other than source of funding. So in other words, everybody got into this. Oh, it's one. I mean, I see all these people like slow motion running through a field of lilies with flowing toga dresses and flowers. Oh, ESG, we're investing in ESG. It's so wonderful. Everybody should do it. And the company's like, ha, 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 look at these idiots. We're going to make ourselves, we know what the scoring process is. We'll figure out a way to make ourselves look good so they all invest to it. And now everybody's excited about all of this. So it's crap. He's even saying it's crap. So there's two reasons why they started. Virtue signaling. And the other one, once again, because the index providers were selling the ESG benchmarking.
That's got to be a major problem.
Do you remember back in the day, there was this idea that we were going to have no vice investments? What do they call those? There was a name for no cigarettes, no gambling, no prostitution.
Yeah, I remember that. I can't remember. There was a term for it. It was really, and it was the in term. It was the virtue signaling of the time of the era.
Social responsible? No, that wasn't it.
Yeah, something like that. Social responsible investing.
Yeah, it was like all the social responsible investing, and they did all these different things. They showed how, you know, if you pick companies that were involved in whoever made the rules, that smoking's bad, alcohol is bad, you know, and strip clubs were bad and things, and gambling, and whoever made that up, that those were the bad things. Came up with this standard and sold it all. And the churches bought it. Government agencies bought it. Individuals like, I don't want to invest in a company that sells cigarettes. I'm like, oh, why is that?
Yeah.
Because I don't want my money going into that company for their use. I'm like, well, if you buy a stock in that company, it's not going to their use. Now, if you buy a bond, it's a different story. Let's not buy the bonds. Let's just buy the stock if it's a good company, right? Maybe they can switch around. Maybe, in fact, you're a voting member now. Maybe you can vote that they should do something different. It's the same thing. It's just, it's a giant scam, some of this stuff. ESG is a scam. The idea of payment for order flow, generally speaking, is a scam. Now, I have clients that we buy things for that the way of payment is payment for order flow, non-commission. But where I can make that choice for clients in certain brokerages, we choose not to do payment for order flow. Now, Gary Gensler in a Barron's interview says he's looking and considering maybe, well, a ban on payment for order flow is not off the table. In fact, it's on the table. It's on the table. So, you know, it's just, again, PayPal is now considering a stock trading platform. Everything's coming to the same. What is it? It's not called the singularity, where everything's just one giant bucket of crap.
Well, this is like the days, and it's going on. It's been going on for a while, where all the banks do this, then they do that, then they add this, and then their investment. Then the next thing you know, you got Wells Fargo trading stocks, and then you have, you know, it's just they become all things. Then we start an insurance company while we're at it. And it's just the next thing you know, they're doing everything. They're financing this, that, and the other thing, and they're doing insurance, and they're doing investing, and they're doing venture capital after that.
And now crypto.
Because they can.
And crypto,
yeah, there you go. That's the end when that happens.
That's what's been happening. Goldman Sachs is adding it. JP Morgan is adding it, even after Jamie Dimon said, you know, crypto is the boogeyman.
Yeah.
They'll start doing
bogus.
It. Yeah. We have a, I wonder if I have an update to this. Let's see. Open this link. Alcon, let's see if I got it here. Alcon is the close to the pin competition that is going on right now. Let's see what we got. Do I have anything? No, I have it maybe over here. Well, the price of Alcon now is what? $82.47. So if you want to view this and check out what's going on, let me just look at this. Date entries close. Oh, it's still open for entries. That's why I'm having this problem. Alcon is still open for entries through the 3rd, which is Friday.
Right. It's Adam's birthday.
Adam. Oh, is he going to still be in the Netherlands? Is he coming back?
No, he's already back.
He is. Quick run. A couple of non-finance related stories in sad news. Ron Jeremy. You know Ron Jeremy?
Oh, yeah.
Adult film star Ron Jeremy, who's been charged with raping 3 women and sexually assaulting a 4th in incidents in West Hollywood from 2014 to 2019. He made his first appearance in Los Angeles County Superior Court on June 23rd. The district attorney's office said the indictment involved 21 victims and conducted and conduct dating back to 1996. The counts include 12 of forcible rape, 7 of forcible oral copulation, 6 of sexual battery, and 2 of penetration while the victim was asleep or unconscious, which is really weird. Wasn't that what that was all about back then?
Right? I'd like to know why this guy is being paid to have sex.
2000. He's been in 2000 movies.
In 2000 different movies with, I guess, 6,000 women. And it just doesn't make any sense to me.
So weird. So weird. I told you I ran into him one time, right? Did I tell you this story?
You bumped into him?
I was at the Florida Panthers hockey game, and I was on the club floor, walking around to get to my seats for the game. And there's a guy that was standing there. I think he had a hot dog in his hand. He looked all disheveled and something. God damn, that guy looks familiar. Where do I know that guy from?
He had a hot dog in his hand?
Yeah, I walked past him. A real hot dog, not the other guy. I walked past him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. I turn around and I'm like, hey, aren't you Ron Jeremy? And he comes over and he shakes it at my hand. He's like, hi, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then I just got freaked out by him touching me. I got totally freaked out. And I like withdrew. And I had to go to like the bathroom and wash up and stuff. I was really, ugh. But he was one ugly, short, fat, you know, unkempt, not showered fellow.
Not an attractive person.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. Not at all. I don't know how he got into these shows. Well,
you know how he got in.
Yeah.
He had a record-breaking...
Schwantz.
Schwantz.
Let's see. Finally, before we get to the game, there's a new silver copper nanolayer mask that is available. This is something you need to know about. Researchers at the National Autonomous University of Mexico have created a face mask using silver and copper nanolayers. This is like the copper fit socks that you put on that rejuvenate your muscles, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to have some football star coming out with this. Hey, I got the new copper and silver nanolayer mask. Neutralizes.
Brett Favre.
Yeah, exactly. This is neutral. It will neutralize the SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19.
Sure so, will.
Yeah. There's a three. Proven. There's a triple layer antimicrobial face mask, SAKU. SAK means silver man, and KU is the chemical symbol for copper. So to test the mask, researchers took drops of the virus from COVID-19 positive patients at the hospital in Juarez in Mexico and placed them on the silver copper film deposited in polypropylene. They said that if the virus concentration was high, the virus disappeared by more than 80% in about 8 hours. And the viral load was low.
A slow breather.
First of all, if you took that virus and just put it on, I don't know, a metal plate, would it just live forever or just eventually dies?
It eventually dies. It's been shown that these things don't even last on the surface that long.
Right. So what you're doing is you're putting this on a surface. This is essentially what you're doing. You're putting on a copper, silver film, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So 80% in about 8 hours, the viral load was low. It took 2 hours. None of the virus RNA was detected. How stupid is this?
Yeah, you know, people will buy it.
People buy everything.
It's got silver. It's got copper.
Yeah, and you know what? You could buy it on an app. It's going to change your life. Right?
Hey, yeah.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
Just keeps going, sir.
Yeah, we're not getting anything kicked off, but at least for a while.
Train's coming.
There's going to be a lot of stuff kicked off almost all at once.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But we still have Medtronic all the way back from March of 2020 when the market crashed, up 73%, Train up 121%. FEC hasn't really been moving, but it's still up 92%, which is awesome. Xerox up 20%, gold not going anywhere. Honeywell up 31%. What else we got exciting here? NXP Semiconductors was an upward channel.
Yeah, I'm surprised that's still doing. That was an upward channel pick. That was just pure bet on charting.
It's great. What's the other one that was up? Honeywell up 31%. NXP up 35%. News Corp Class B with Inside is down 7%. Pfizer's up 17%. With all the Delta variant going around and people withdrawing and all that, Planet Fitness, the short is down somehow, which is amazing to me. Invite Partners, insiders up 8%. AP Moeller, the shippers, which was shorting up 1.25% in the game. Shopify not going anywhere. Affirm Holdings up 42.28%. Picked up 8.4.
Yeah, that's your pick. That was a good one. I'm not going to. That was from 8.4. That's amazing that that thing's up so much. I mean, I did pick a good one last week.
Yeah.
It's up 18% in after one show.
Oscar Health. Yep. Insiders. That's big.
And I have one more I'm going to do. It's very similar. This is a similar pick, but it's different because something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen.
Oh.
This is two different guys that are on the board of directors, including the president, CEO, and director, and another director. These two guys have both of them dumped $15 million into their company.
Really?
AHAC. That's at a nice price.
Alpha Healthcare Acquisition. So this is
an acquisition operation. In other words, they're going to be buying up stuff because I think there's going to be some opportunities to.
I wonder if this is a SPAC.
Do some, yeah, could be.
AHAC SPAC. Let's see if it comes up.
But it's looks to me like something's going to happen with
that. Investors want to buy AHACs while it's still cheap before SPAC's merger with bioengineering company HumanSight. So it is a SPAC.
Target. Well, there's a SPAC. There's my SPAC investment.
What HumanSight is a provider of off-the-shelf, universally implantable, bioengineered human tissue. Ugh. What does that mean?
It's gross.
God.
Ew. It's $10. The stock has been as high as 30.
Wow. It's been around for a while. That's good. Yeah, this is SPACs. That's cool. And then the other thing I want to mention is, what do we have? The other one, GameStop is a little bit underwater. That's pretty much from today. And the Crane Shares China Internet, that bounce, China bounce, up 12%. That's good for an index in a couple of weeks. So anything else that you have to pick?
No, just that one thing.
I'm still kind of shy.
Yeah, you're reluctant to put anything in this pile.
I'm shy because we have so much on here.
We're since the 18th, we're kind of turned it around. We don't have all this red.
Right. Yeah. Looks good. All right. With that in mind, listen, happy birthday to Adam, which is coming up around the corner. And of course, listen to couple of different things. The Disciplined Investor podcast. You can get that on any of your favorite podcast apps because apps are the way to go. They'll change your life. Our podcast will change your life. The way that you think, the way that you do things, and you just be so much better off. That includes No Agenda, which you can listen to on Thursdays and Sundays, 12 live. Or, of course, like I do, I download it and listen to it the next day. So any way you want to do it. So other than that, anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, I think that's it. Pretty much sums it up.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right. Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida, and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.